Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and today's episode is presented by SeatGeek and the wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. And with the Pacers heading down the stretch and key home games this week, be a good time to check out the SeatGeek app and get into the field house. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to give you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on this episode, presented by SeatGeek, we will take a quick and painful look back at the Pacers' disastrous trip to Toronto, where they put up little resistance, losing to the Raptors 116-91. Yep. Road woes continue for the Pacers. And life doesn't get any easier when they get home on Monday. With a back-to-back, Pacers will host the Utah Jazz for George Hill's return, along with, of course, Gordon Hayward, Trey Lyles, Shelvin Mack, all the Hoosier connection there, doing their thing to make the Jazz a strong and somewhat overlooked contender in the West. But before we dive in, a reminder, hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, so the Pacers had 3 full days off at the Fieldhouse. A lot of energy and emotion as the NCAA tournament first and second round games were being played at the Fieldhouse. Actually, those first round games on Friday, the Pacers were around for that, and they jumped out of town before the games on Sunday, obviously. But still, a lot of great buzz in the city. If you're a Hoops fan of any type, had to be feeling that energy. Kind of hoped the Pacers would take some of that youthful college spirit on the road and put it on display against the Raptors. But yeah, that didn't happen. Not even close. In fact, the Pacers lost every quarter and wrapped to a 25-point loss. And now they've alternated again between wins and losses for the 13th game in a row, dating back to a loss against Washington in the game just prior to the All-Star break. And that's just not getting it done. You know, energy and effort, and, you know, really the dirty work areas on the defensive end, on rebounding on the glass, keeping the Raptors off the offensive glass, just was nowhere near a winning effort against the Raptors. And in fact, you know, the Raptors out-rebounded the Pacers 51-33 and gobbled up 14 offensive rebounds. Even when the Pacers did seem to have a good defensive possession, get a stop, get a missed shot, they weren't able to get the rebound. And, you know, it was just one of those nights where everything was a frustration for the Pacers, and they couldn't get anything going against the Raptors. You look, Miles Turner really struggled against that front court. He only took 4 shots, had 3 points, 5 rebounds, no blocks. Again, Pacers rely heavily on that 20-year-old and not always going to get the results you want, even though he had seemed to snap out of a little offensive shooting slump in the past couple of games, but he was back on the shelf against the Raptors, that's for sure. You know, Thad Young actually looked better. He, you know, made a 3-pointer, which was a great sign. Not only that he took the shot, but that he made it since returning from his wrist injury. You know, the perimeter shooting has been non-existent pretty much. Now, you know, I wouldn't say he's all the way back and recovered. Still showed a little problem from the free throw line later in the game, airballing a free throw, but at least he seems to be moving towards being healthier and being able to contribute a little bit more. But that may be where all the positives stop for the Pacers in this one. You know, Paul George had scored 18 points, but he was obviously really frustrated with a lot of the defensive breakdowns that, you know, led to Toronto open shots. You know, he was caught trying to help a lot, and, you know, no rotation, no help on his end. But, you know, really there was nobody for the Pacers that was able to, you know, just flip that bad mojo that was out there and that energy level and get things going. You know, save for a minor little attempt at a run in the third quarter, which faded by the end of the quarter. The Pacers really didn't have anything going. And, again, take the big loss in Toronto. And the Raptors, of course, have been playing without Kyle Lowry, who had surgery and has been out for several games. So, you know, the good news was Corey Joseph wouldn't be able to kill the Pacers off the bench because he was starting. But he did do his damage. He had 11 points and 9 assists. And, of course, DeMar DeRozan led the way with 22 points. And DeMarre Carroll, who has not been shooting the ball real well and has also been dealing with some injury issues, was questionable before this game. Yeah, he just knocked down 4 three-pointers. And, you know, that was kind of the way it was. The Pacers were not able to make the Raptors uncomfortable. And they shot a pretty solid percentage from behind the arc as they made 12 of 27 threes. Pretty efficient, 44%. And the Pacers weren't able to match that at all. But again, I look on the rebounding end. And when you're getting out rebounded by 18 rebounds, a lot of that does come down to effort and desire to go get the ball. And the Pacers just were outplayed in that area. And now, you know, they're looking at a challenging situation once again in the standings. You know, this was an opportunity to maybe put the Raptors in play. Raptors are in fourth, but with 3 games remaining, if the Pacers could have swept those games, they would have been, you know, that alone would have, could have drawn them within a game and a half of the Raptors. But now, with so few games remaining, the Pacers can forget about catching the Raptors and really just have to hold off those teams behind them. They did catch a break because Miami lost to Portland on Sunday. So Pacers are now a game ahead of Milwaukee. Milwaukee's in 7th. And then they are still a game and a half ahead of Miami. But Detroit also beat Phoenix on Sunday. So they are tied up now with Miami. So you have those 3 teams lurking right behind the Pacers. And the margin for error continues to be slim for the Pacers, and again, it's not getting any easier. As I mentioned, the Utah Jazz are at the Fieldhouse on Monday night, another important game. So make sure you get some tickets to the game via SeatGeek, because buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deals for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek's always the first place I go to see what ticket deals are available for Pacers games whenever family or friends say they want to get to the game. And let me see real quick. Let me pop up Jazz and the Pacers. Pop 2. You can get into the gym pretty cheap. Tickets for $7, a lot of upper-level tickets, you know, around $12. Lower levels, you can get some for $40, even on the north end, behind the hoop, in the 20s. So good tickets available, as always, on the SeatGeek app. And, you know, everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work. You save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the best bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, just download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add Promo Code. Enter promo code LO Pacers. That's all one word, all caps, LO Pacers. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Pacers today. So before we dig into that Utah game coming up, a little more on the Pacers' troubles up in Toronto. And we know that last time we saw the Pacers on the road, they dumped a bad game in New York with a late collapse. And it prompted a team meeting on the plane home and with the Charlotte Hornets at the time waiting for the Pacers in Indy, just as the Jazz are right now. Apparently Aaron Brooks called that team meeting. They cleared the air, did all the chatting up and communicating to figure out where things were breaking down. It was billed as a turning point after the Pacers put it on the Hornets the next night. Well, I wonder if they're having another one of those meetings coming back from Toronto, because, you know, after playing the Hornets so well and then having 3 days off to prepare and rest and get all your, you know, your body and mind ready to play, the Pacers had nothing for the Raptors. And it's hard to imagine that was a legitimate turning point of team bonding on that plane ride home, because it really only lasted for about 24 hours. And, you know, that's got to be frustrating for everyone involved. Nate Taylor had a tweet after the game with a quote from Thad Young, who said, quote, "If we can bring the intensity and energy and efficiency that we bring at home, we would be a 45 or 41 team right now," talking about their problems on the road. And, yeah, that is no doubt. But fact is, they haven't been able to find that formula on the road. And Nate McMillan, you know, obviously frustrated after the game. His comments, he spoke about Toronto bringing physicality to the game and the Pacers just not responding. Said defensively they, you know, brought the energy, Toronto, and were able to get stops, get out in transition, and the Pacers' energy, he just didn't have an explanation for it. And he said the physicality led Toronto to dominating every quarter. They didn't win a quarter in the game. And the Raptors, the physicality took the Pacers out of what they wanted to do. And the Raptors pounded the board. And, you know, the Pacers defense allowed the Raptors to go wherever they wanted to and just didn't disrupt the Raptors defensively, allowed them to run their sets, get to their spots, and didn't disrupt enough to cause them to get out of rhythm. And when they did miss, you know, he was lamenting the fact that the Raptors were able to get 14 offensive rebounds. Also, he was asked kind of about looking around at the other teams around them in the standings, and McMillan dismissed that question, saying, you know, we can't worry about other teams. Has to be about us. We've shown we're capable of playing well, but they just don't show the consistency. And that's the one thing they need to deliver the rest of the way to take care of their playoff spot. But that is certainly up in the air now. Again, when you look at the schedule ahead for the Pacers, it is a little dicey here for a few games. As we said, you know, Utah on the back-to-back, and then you're going to play Boston on Wednesday, back home against Denver, who's playing well and battling for a playoff spot in the West. So next three games are going to be a challenge, and quite honestly, if the Pacers can keep that win-one, lose-one, win-one pattern going, I think they'd be in pretty good shape. I think they'd pick a 2-1 out of these three games coming up. But they're going to have to play better, play with more energy and intensity, which they do at home. But on Monday, they're going to find a team that is a mighty tough matchup. They do catch the Jazz playing their fourth consecutive road game. And they've lost their last two, though, which probably isn't a good thing either, losing in Cleveland and in Chicago. But they've been in Indy this weekend. Saw some tweets with Shelvin Mack and Gordon Hayward after a practice at Hinkle Fieldhouse, their old stomping grounds with Butler. And the whole Indy contingent was, of course, George Hill, Gordon Hayward, Trey Lyles from Tech. And, you know, we claimed Shelvin Mack from his Butler days. So, you know, Mack and Lyles aren't really in the playing rotation, play sporadically at best. But when George Hill is healthy and he teams up with Gordon Hayward, they've done a lot of winning together. Unfortunately, George has been on the shelf a little bit more than he would like this year. In 70 games, he's only played in 43, and mainly due to a nagging toe injury that's caused him to miss more games than he'd like. So there's no doubt, though, he'll be ready for his return to the Fieldhouse. We know his competitive streak, and he's going to want to show all his friends and family in town and within the Pacers organization, you know, just how things will have been going for him in Utah. So it should be fun. Again, make sure you hit up SeatGeek, check it out. And again, thanks for listening, and thanks for SeatGeek for presenting this episode. Please share your thoughts on the game or, you know, games ahead, current state of the team, via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.